Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around the district and from further afield. Verulamium Park is a hive of bird activity, and all the more lovely in that we can actually see many of the water birds making their nests and raising their young. Later in the show, Dan Fletcher of St Albans RSPB will talk about this year's Heron Watch. But first, let's listen to Barry Trevis, who's been observing herons and other birds on Verulamium Lake for many years. Barry, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Now, why is the island on Verulamium Lake so good for birds like herons?
Well, they've got security. Herons can be very touchy birds. If you go too near them, they'll just clear off and disappear for an hour. And, of course, you've got that whole body of water. And importantly, you're not getting predators there that can climb up, like stoats and squirrels that might predate the eggs in the nests.
Yeah, indeed. So it's a good place for them to nest.
Yeah.
Now, you've been studying the herons there for a while. How many herons usually nest there?
Well, there's been a fair range. I've actually been involved at monitoring them since 1995, and generally the nests don't go much below 10 in a season.
Yeah.
These are occupied nests. There's often structures there that are not used, nest structures.
Yeah.
But in some bumper years, it's up to nearly 20, often 19, that sort of figure.
Yeah. Now, in recent years, you've noticed a new bird here. What's that?
This is a little egret. It's also one of the heron family. They're pretty obvious if you see one. It's about half the size of a grey heron, but it's pretty impressive. It's just totally snow white. It's got a black bill, black legs and yellow feet and lovely plumes in the adults.
So actually quite an attractive bird then.
Exactly, yeah. Can't miss them being so snowy white.
Yes, not very camouflaged, you have to say.
No.
So where do they come from? They're new? Where did they come from?
They're pretty much a sort of African, Mediterranean, tropical bird, but in more recent years, and it may have something to do with climate change, they seem to have moved up the coast of France. It used to be a real rare bird in Hertfordshire even in the 70s, but started to colonise southern Britain in the late 1980s, early 90s, and then started breeding in Hertfordshire in 2011 on one or two Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust reserves.
OK. So is this a climate change good news story, perhaps?
I think it is. I don't know of any other good news stories with climate change, really, but certainly from a bird-watching perspective, it's just wonderful to have them along. And they seem to have filled their own ecological niche. They actually are catching very small fish, like stickleback, small frogs,
right.
Whereas grey herons tend to go for much larger prey.
Right.
But they all like to nest together.
OK, so then they're not competing for the same food. And they nest in the same trees, do they? How do they manage with that, then?
Yes, we think it's pretty much the same all over Britain, where you have grey heron colonies, little egrets eventually attempt to breed in amongst them. And often the nest is only about a metre. It's a much smaller nest with the little egret, but it's only about a metre from the heron's nest. Now, the heron is just finishing breeding.
Right.
You've got raucous young herons in the nest, and the little egret is moving in April and May time.
Right.
And we think that gives security if any predator did come their way. There'd be a lot of noise going on, and they would be warned.
Right, I see. So you've mentioned that these birds are, they've sort of moved in from the continent. Are they only found on Verulamium Lake locally, or are they found in other places too?
Oh, well, they're all over Hertfordshire, wherever there are shallow wetlands. You won't find them wading out in the middle of a very deep lake. They like it in the shallows, and as I say, they're getting small prey.
Right.
They're often on the edges of rivers, on the edges of gravel pits and reservoirs.
Yeah.
They breed in five sites now in islands in the middle of lakes.
Yes.
In Hertfordshire.
Right. Now, you said that you ring the egrets and the herons. What does this enable you to do?
Well, this is a standard way of monitoring birds. It's actually been going on and run by the British Trust for Ornithology for over 100 years now. You put a metal ring on. You have to be licensed to do this. The rings are issued by the BTO, And that bird ultimately might be found by another ringer. It might be found dead. You know, a cat might bring in a small bird and yes. it's got a ring on. And that then gets often reported through the Natural History Museum, actually, to the BTO. And then the ringer gets to hear about the bird, and the finder gets to hear about right. where it was originally ringed. And, of course, you're then finding out where the bird went
yes.
and how long it lived. Okay. So you're finding about their survival rate.
So, Barry, actually, I suppose listeners might have cats who might bring in birds. If they do find a ring on a bird, they pop it in an envelope to the Natural History Museum? Is that right?
That's right. That's the clearinghouse.
Yeah.
But if you tap in onto Google, for instance, yeah. The British Trust for Ornithology, it tells you how to report a ringed bird.
Right.
And you don't need to take the ring off the leg, which some people wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah.
You just need to make sure you've got the ring number correct.
Yeah.
And also, you need to give the location and the date. That's
okay.
most important.
Okay. Now, as you said, you've studied herons over many years in Hertfordshire. Can you just tell us some of the things that you might have found out from the ringing? Do they go a long way? Do they just stay locally, for example?
We've had surprisingly few recoveries for such a big, visible bird that spends most of its time on the edge of water. You'd think if a bird had died for some reason, it would
yeah.
be found. But I've only, out of some 300 ringed, only had about 30 recoveries.
Right.
Which isn't a bad percentage, but most of them have been young birds that didn't survive very long. They didn't know how to find food, or they were caught by a fox or something.
Yeah.
And the biggest reason has been getting caught in nets in people's gardens where they cover their ponds up.
Yeah.
And quite rightly they do that. They don't want to lose their fish.
Right.
But also in fish farms. But we've had almost like the spokes of a wheel with we've had a record of one being found in Haslemere in Surrey, Chelmsford in Essex,
yeah.
Kettering. But the furthest one we've had actually is Greater Manchester.
Okay, so actually, you know, we do think of the birds, are the herons just sitting there on the lake in Verulam. Actually, they really do get quite a long way away too, don't they? And there's a good tip there, is I suppose if you do have a net over a pond, do keep checking it to check that there's no birds caught in that.
Yeah,
net,
they will particularly want to come into gardens when they're under pressure to feed their young,
yeah.
which is the period sort of March through to June.
Great. Well, that's a good tip there. Barry, thank you very much indeed for coming and telling us all about the egrets and the herons down on Verulamium Lake. Thank you. There I was talking to Barry Trevis. Now, after talking to Barry, I caught up with Dan Fletcher from St Albans RSPB. Dan, thank you very much indeed for joining me. Now, have you seen any of the egrets at Verulamium Park yet this year?
Yes, I have. Yes, I saw one egret back in January, just near where Park Run starts, one Saturday morning.
So. I see. So you're jogging away, doing a bit of multitasking, watching the birds and getting fit at the same time.
Well, you can always birdwatch, so it's a hobby that always gives in that way.
It stays with you, does it? So it doesn't seem long since we spoke about heron watch last year. Have the herons started nesting this year?
Yes, they have. Yeah, their breeding season starts in February, and so they started last month.
Yeah.
In fact, I think some were seen around the nest in late January, and certainly by mid-February there were six nests with herons showing interest and at least one with a heron sitting on eggs, as far as we could tell.
Wonderful. So, heron watch, it's something that the RSPB run every year. What's it for? Who's it aimed at?
Heron watch is aimed at anybody who's walking around a Verulamium Park, really. It's not just for bird enthusiasts. I think one of the things is that it's very unusual to have a heronry that close to a city centre that's so accessible. All the other heronries in Hertfordshire are generally on sort of nature reserves or in
yes.
on reservoirs which don't have a lot of access. So it's very accessible. You can just wander around Verulamium Lake, and there are the herons there in the middle, getting on with what they do this time of year. So what we're trying to do is to tell park visitors what's going on, give them an opportunity to see the herons up close. So we set up some telescopes,
yep.
and people can look through the telescopes and they can see herons nesting later on in the season. They can see the chicks growing up as well.
Wonderful. Are people surprised by what they see?
Yes, they do. We do get people who are surprised, particularly maybe the sort of the teenagers who come past. That if we can persuade them to stop and take their headphones out and have a look at what's going on, that they're really amazed at the life that they can see through the telescope. They maybe didn't realise that there are herons up there,
yeah.
And they're surprised how big they are and how sort of ungainly they are when they sit on their nests. And
yes.
They particularly like seeing the young chicks with,
yes,
their sort of spiky, feathery hairdo.
It is just like a David Attenborough programme, just as you say, just there, not far from our city centre, isn't it?
Exactly. It's nature doing what it does, but in a way that's really accessible. And we often find that during Heron Watch, people will come down over several weeks just to see the progress and to know what's going on.
Yes, yes. Well, I suppose if you've seen a baby bird in the nest, you sort of care about it, don't you? You want to know what happens to it.
You do, and certainly the volunteers who are down there sort of are very keen to know what goes on each week, and I send around a weekly email update with what's happened in the different nests.
Fantastic. And so how long will Heron Watch be there for? So how long are the herons nesting for?
Okay, so as I said, they start in February, but we start Heron Watch in March, this month, and the first one will be on the 18th of March.
Right.
And we're going to run then every weekend up through to the middle of May, I think about the 14th of May,
right,
every weekend, and ideally over the Easter holiday.
Okay.
As well.
And you'll expect that the babies will all have fledged by then? And
Well... most of them will be grown by towards the end of May. Herons lay eggs at different times, so they start in February, but they may then still be laying eggs through into March. It's about three to five weeks while they're sitting on the eggs, and then 6 to 8 weeks actually whilst the chicks are getting bigger, and then they get to the point where they're ready to leave the nest, and at that point the adult herons will basically just disappear, will just go off and say you're big enough to look after yourself. And after about a day or so, the young herons realise they're not going to get any more food, so they flap their wings and off they go and thrive for themselves. It's tough love, but
that's right. And you see all this happening from the telescopes on the bank. I mean,
over the 2 months that we're doing it, you,
yeah,
see a big change. It's amazing, oh, to think that the little eggs, which,
yes,
are sort of, I don't know, 6 to 10 centimetres long,
yes,
can turn into a bird that's
and also that bit with the I suppose teenage heron setting out on its own for the first time. That's quite a moving thing, really, isn't it? I've seen little seals doing that, and yes,
it is. You see them for a day, maybe wandering around, flying around the lake, and then they disappear up the River Ver or
yeah,
wherever they go.
Fantastic. Right, now, are you looking for volunteers to help with this year?
We're always looking for volunteers to help. We've got some volunteers from the RSPB group, and then other local RSPB groups and, yeah, nature groups are also putting in volunteers as well, which is great. And we're working,
okay,
with the Hertfordshire Wildlife and Middlesex, Hertfordshire Middlesex and Wildlife Trust,
oh, right, yeah,
to help us with some of that. Volunteers, we man it from 11 till 3. And we do that in two shifts, 11 till 1 and then 1 till 3.
Yeah.
And ideally we have 3 volunteers on each time.
Right. OK, so just a couple of hours of your time. Do you need to be an expert in birds to do this?
You don't need to be an expert. You need to be interested in nature.
Yeah.
Generally there'll be somebody from the RSPB or somebody who's done it before with you. And part of it is just chatting to people who are going by and pointing out the herons to them and just making it a bit of an event.
Lovely. Excellent. So it sounds like that could be quite a nice way to be involved in this lovely story unfolding. Now, Dan, the last public meeting that St Albans RSPB held was back during Sustainable St Albans Week, and that was fantastically well attended. Now, you've got another public meeting coming up next week. Can you just tell us a bit about that?
Sure, yes. The last one was great. We had nearly 50 people coming along. And this time we're at the same location at St Columba's College. It's going to be on the 7th of March,
yeah,
so next week at 8 p.m. And we've got Barry Trevis speaking, who you've just been hearing from.
Yep.
And he's going to be talking about the herons of Verulamium Park. And some of the information that he's got from ringing those herons and little egrets over the years. He's been doing it for many years, and he's got some great stories and some information and statistics on where the herons go to after they leave Verulamium.
Well, certainly I found when talking, he's a mine of fascinating information, isn't it? Very engaging to listen to as well, so it sounds like a fantastic meeting. Dan, thank you very much indeed for joining us. I'll make
sure
the information goes onto our website, and we hope the meeting goes very well.
Okay, thank you.
There I was, talking to Dan Fletcher from St Albans RSPB. And as I said, you can find all the information from today's show at rvenvironmentmatters.wordpress.com, or you can take a look at the environment page of the brand new Radio Verulam website. You can also find out about all local events on the What's On page of the Radio Verulam website. There's walks and talks, classes and matches, something for everyone. And the good news is that you can put your post on there for free. So advertise your event for free. Now, you can sign up to receive our weekly podcast, again, on the exciting new Radio Verulam website. Really easy, and you'll receive all the news about local sustainability issues directly into your inbox. Now, we always love to hear from you. Tweet us at rv_environment. Email us at environmentonrv@gmail.com. Now, next week, it's International Women's Day, and there's a whole day of great programmes, all done by our fantastic female presenters. Now, I'll be here with a special hour-long edition of Environment Matters. That will be at 7 o'clock till 8 o'clock in the evening, so starting at the usual time. And amongst other people, we'll be hearing from the lovely Ruby Rout, who you will remember spoke to us last week about her investigation into food waste in schools. She'll be there again talking about another of the great projects that she's undertaking. That's at 7 o'clock next Wednesday evening on International Women's Day. So, until then, thank you for listening.